I'm Ross Reynolds. It's The Record. In 1987, Colorado Senator Gary Hart was running for president against George H.W. Bush. Hart was ahead by double digits. Then, within a week, his campaign fell apart when the Miami Herald ran a story about an alleged affair he was having with a model named Donna Rice. Hart became a laughingstock. Journalist Matt Bai says the Gary Hart incident changed political reporting forever. Matt Bai is a national political correspondent for Yahoo News. He's covered four presidential campaigns. His new book is All the Truth is Out. The week politics went tabloid.
Well, so Hart, you know, he has a long period in national life. He was George McGovern's campaign manager. He gets to the Senate very young in 1974. He's reelected in 1980 against the Reagan tide. And then in 1984, he decides to run for president. He positions himself as sort of the generational shift and the Western shift of the party, which has still never had a Western nominee. He was a visionary in his time. He really saw around corners in a way that the things he talked about, like stateless terrorism and energy independence and its relationship to national security, things that we take for granted now, but were very new then. He runs. He has about 3% in the polls. No one knows who he is. He runs in 84 and swamps Walter Mondale in New Hampshire, rockets to the top, wins every state west of the Mississippi, and becomes a huge political celebrity, and just barely misses the nomination, really as a result of the superdelegate system that had just been instituted. And then, of course, he's going to run again in 1988, and he is far and away the prohibitive favorite. He's 20 points ahead of the next Democrats, and those two, the next two in line, aren't actually running, Mario Cuomo and Lee Iacocca. And he's running in head-to-head, well, double digits ahead of George H.W. Bush, the sitting vice president. But there are all these rumors about his personal life and speculation, and Hart really comes from the old world. He'd been separated twice from his wife in Washington. He dated in full view. He had of the press corps. He had close friends in the press corps. Once when he separates from his wife in a fight, he sleeps on Bob Woodward's couch. And nobody writes about it. Nobody cares. He's on Bob Woodward's couch, for crying out loud. So Hart really doesn't believe that this will become an issue. And even more than that, even if he thinks someone will care, he certainly doesn't come from a world where it's possible to think someone's going to go ferreting out the evidence. And in that moment, in 1987, there are just all these factors churning in the culture that he doesn't appreciate that are about to come together to create a different kind of political coverage than we've ever had before. And it culminates in him standing in the alley next to his townhouse in a white hoodie late at night, backed up against a brick wall, while reporters from the Miami Herald who've been staking out his house shouted him, "Who's that woman in your house? And did you have sex with her? And who is this woman, Senator?" And in that alley, I think the ground of politics and political journalism really does begin to change in a significant way.
What made you want to reinvestigate and do this story, which for many is kind of ancient history?
Yeah, I mean, that was a question I heard a lot. You know, I wrote about him when I was a relatively new writer at the New York Times Magazine. At the end of 2002, I noticed an item. He was thinking about running for president again. And I thought, what? I remembered that reading in my dorm room years ago. And I thought, why would a man want to go through that again? And I went to Denver and I met him. And he was really a striking politician to meet. I mean, I, as you say, I've covered four presidential campaigns. I've known every major politician of the age, really. He's just brilliant. And he was wounded, and he was just personally very compelling. So I wrote a piece about him. He didn't like it. And the thing is, I didn't really like it because I felt like I'd missed something, and I hate that feeling as a writer when you feel like you haven't gotten to the bottom of it. And it haunted me for years. And I covered two more presidential elections, and I saw how the candidates were sort of withdrawing from us, how they regarded us more and more as hired assassins, how they watched their words so carefully, how they wouldn't put ideas forth with any complexity or nuance. And I began to see a connection between what had happened in Hart's time and the politics as I had covered it. And I wanted to understand that connection. And then, of course, when I went back, as you alluded to, the more I found that everything we remembered about that story was just wrong. And it wasn't wrong because people had lied about it. It was wrong because we had misremembered.
Well, let's go back to those supposed facts that we remember. Do we know that he slept with this model, Donna Rice, which was the gist of the story that brought him down?
We don't. We know that he saw her twice. We know that something apparently happened. Nobody ever shared the evidence. They both denied that there was a relationship. They both denied consummating a relationship. And Hart has never talked about it, and neither has Donna Rice. I talked to them both. And, you know, Hart's feeling was this is nobody's business, and he's believed that for 27 years.
We all know that Gary Hart was – these rumors were flying around him, and we all know for certain that he challenged the media. He says, follow me around. You'll find it very boring.
Right. You know,
true?
You know, someone told me recently, and I've been talking about it because I thought it was a really cool idea, that this is how memories, the way memory works is we don't actually remember whole events. We remember signposts, and then the brain fills in a narrative around, a plausible narrative around what we remember. And this has kind of happened with Hart, I think. We do remember this story. He's challenged the media, and the media followed him. The truth of the matter is he did say, follow me around. He said it to a single reporter, E.J. Dionne, the New York Times Magazine. The piece was not written for weeks afterward. No one heard the quote. The Miami Herald got an anonymous tip, decided that they were going to go put a presidential candidate of the United States under surveillance, secret surveillance in his home to see if he was cheating on his wife. And then they discover the quote while they're doing the surveillance. And they actually used that quote in their story. They paraphrase it as sort of a rationale. But in fact, the decision wasn't Hart's. Hart didn't challenge the media and therefore change the standards around politics and journalism, private lives and public lives. Actually, we as an industry made that decision. The Miami Herald made that decision. Similarly, people think, you know, as you mentioned with the boat, he had this picture on with the Donna Rice on his lap on the boat, and that was the end of him. Well, in fact, it came out 3 weeks after he was out of the race, and it wasn't actually taken on a boat significantly. I think it was taken on a very crowded pier near the boat where there were hundreds of tourists milling around. It was not some, you know, illicit moment.
Why was what the Miami Herald did in staking him out and confronting him about this alleged affair or assumed affair breaching what you think journalists should do?
Well, I think it's hard to say. You know, I don't know that I'd say breaching what I think they should have done, because I don't know what I would have done in the moment. I mean, those are some great reporters. It certainly breached lines that existed to that time. If you look at the 20th century, you know, if you go back to Franklin Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, John Kennedy, private morality was not considered integral to public behavior, and a lot of probably too much of what some of them did in their private lives were actually left aside. In that moment, you have these ghosts of Watergate, which are very important, because there's a feeling among these new younger journalists coming into the business that they cannot allow another liar to get into the White House. It doesn't matter what the lie is, that now personal morality really matters. Woodward and Bernstein is their great example. There's no higher calling than exposing the flaw of a politician. And you have the birth of the satellite dish, which creates a kind of soap opera entertainment strain of media that we've not seen before. So there is a new entertainment vibe in the media, too. And I think after 1987, I think this was going to happen regardless. My point is that all these forces were going to come together. Somebody was going to walk into it. It happened to be Hart. But I think after that period, you see the ethos of political journalism change, as I think it was going to anyway, from the illumination of worldviews and ideas and agendas to a real focus on what is the lie, what is the hypocrisy. You have a character flaw. Our job is to ferret it out and present it to the voters and let them decide.
Well, there's a kind of assumption here that if a politician in his or her private life lies or acts in a moral way, that's going to translate somehow to what they do in office. Is that a false presumption?
I think history proves it's a false presumption. Not always. Sometimes it really matters. I could give you cases where I think it really matters. But we've had plenty of people who lied to their wives, more probably than haven't, if Theodore White, the presidential chronicler, is to be believed. And some of them were actually excellent presidents. And we've had presidents who were incredibly upstanding people with their families who were not very good. We've erected as an industry, I think, a lot of rationales for this. We have all kinds of sayings. We say it's out there, so it has to be investigated. Or competitors are doing it, someone's going to do it anyway. Or it's not the sex, it's the lie. Or, you know, if you're going to lie to your wife, you'll lie to the public. The truth of the matter is we do these stories because they have salacious appeal, because if you bring down a politician, it brings you great accolades, because people will watch it on TV. And sometimes they matter. And I'm not saying that the personal character of candidates doesn't matter, but I think character has to be in context. There are lots of things that make up a person's character, and we need to be honest with ourselves about why we do the stories we do.
Is anything in context anymore? Matt Bai is talking to us about his new book, All the Truth Is Out, The Week Politics Went Tabloid. He dates it back to 1987 and the Gary Hart scandal. I mean, these days, forget about what newspapers were doing back in 1987. At the flick of a switch, things are going out over Twitter and through social media that are completely unsubstantiated. Is there any putting the genie back in the bottle if you think we should kind of think more responsibly about reporting on personal lives of politicians?
Well, it's tough. You know, I get that question a lot talking about this, and I'm not a particularly prescriptive. I'm not a media critic, so I never thought to sit down and write, you know, the 10 things we should all do to be better people. I do think that it comes down in a simple way to judgment. I don't think you issue rules or edicts, and we don't need to have journalism conferences about this. I think we need to persuade younger journalists coming into the business to exercise judgment? One of the things we started to say as a business, and some of the reporters involved in this story will tell you, is, look, it's not our job to decide what's relevant. That's up to the voters. We're a vetting force. We're a private eye firm, right? We go and we create the best dossier we can, and then the voters will work through it and figure out what matters. And that is at odds with everything we do as journalists, at odds with what I do when I write a column, decide what to write about. You decide what to put on your show, and in what order people decide what to put on a homepage or a front page, what goes up, what goes down. I mean, we make judgments about what information people should have and how much we should weight it every day, all day. And only in the realm, it seems to me, of scandal and salaciousness do we say, oh, no, you know, that's not our job to step in between the voter and the information. We're just going to throw it all out there. Well, I think we need to take some judgment back in that issue.
Is it too late for Gary Hart? You say right in your acknowledgments, part of the reason you wrote this was to get people to reconsider who he was and what his legacy is.
Well, apparently not, because just today it was announced that Secretary of State Kerry is sending him to Northern Ireland as his personal envoy. There's still a lot of political disagreement and tension there in the government arrangement, the sharing arrangement, and he's going to go and try to help work that out on behalf of his government. So it's not too late, and my hope is that he will be remembered. I mean, whatever happens with Gary Hart, and I hope he lives a long time and serves in multiple capacities from here on out.
Well, it's a fascinating reappraisal of the Gary Hart story. All the truth is out the week politics went tabloid. Matt Bai, thank you so much for telling us
about it. Oh, thanks for having me, Ross. Really fun.
It's The Record on KUOW.